progress daily.
In order to get the opportunity, you must show up.
By any means, whatever it takes.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Andy Audate Show. So today I have a exciting show here with Andy and myself as the co-host. Andy will be the main host, but we will be discussing not just business, but life, and more importantly, tips, resources for your business that actually can also benefit in your life. So how are you doing today, Andy?
I'm so excited. I just got out of the gym, so I'm just so excited to take it up a notch and talk about money and what is going to create results for people's businesses.
Yes, definitely. I am too, because remember how we kind of came up with this idea? It was like we have all these conversations, but they're never recorded. So yeah. Now, for the first time ever, we're going to actually record it, share it with the world, and that way they can have all the information that we have. So one of the trending questions that we've been getting on your social media is, why is MRR so important? Because obviously they're seeing the shift, right? You've been a business coach a long time. You've been a marketing coach a long time. But the new kind of topics and the questions you're getting asked are about MRR, monthly recurring revenue. So in case this is someone's first podcast that they happen to hear you on, what is MRR and how has that been implemented in your business?
So MRR is monthly recurring revenue, and it's money that comes in every single month automatically. And it's not a new topic. It's not a new idea. It's not a new concept. There's always been subscription businesses, but it's as if the people who have had subscription businesses, they're like, this is the newfound thing. This is a newfound business model. And they're the ones creating freedom, while many folks are thinking like, hey, running a business is going out and hustling every single month, but you own this hustle. So there's two ways you can run a business. You can have a financial model of getting money coming in on a reoccurring basis, or every single month you're on the hunt for new customers and you're always trying to bring in new customers. Even if it's repeat customers, you're on the hunt for these new customers. So the way to create freedom today is monthly reoccurring revenue, where you always have money coming in.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And you're definitely right about that. So it's not new. Like, we've seen it in other businesses, right? Think of gyms, and I'll throw some common brands out there. Planet Fitness, where I'm from, in the town that I'm from, it's like a $9.99 per month. That's monthly recurring revenue. So it has been there for a long time. I think the shift has been that people are realizing, wait, I can do this as an entrepreneur. Like, as a business owner, I don't have to just hustle for one sale at a time. So how has that made a difference as far as you being on the other side, right? As a business owner, managing cash, managing big purchases, you know, things like that. How has MRR actually impacted your decision-making as you run a business?
I mean, so when I think about cash management, I remember years ago, I used to run that cell phone store, and it was a T-Mobile franchise. And when I ran that cell phone store, every month we started at zero. Every single month we knew like it was zero, and we had to go out in front of the store and have flyers or have the it's like the thing that waves in the air to get people into your store. We had that. It's like essentially a big balloon. We had greeters, people who were at the doors to get people to come into the store, because every single month we knew we were at zero. We had to go get new customers, right? The only people who weren't at zero was the actual cell phone brand. So me as a cell phone store, my job was to bring in customers for T-Mobile, even though it's my business and I'm selling phones that I own. I was bringing customers for T-Mobile, and T-Mobile was getting the reoccurring revenue, and they would pump so much money into our business that it would essentially keep the owner operator, which at the time was me, just excited to just get more customers, right? Excited to get more customers. But T-Mobile was getting this reoccurring. And I was never educated on the idea of having reoccurring revenue. I was never educated on the concept of getting a subscriber to pay every single month for a product or a service that you're delivering. And that was the game changer for me. So cash management, I remember there were times when I was in the basement of our cell phone store. The way that I did it, like, most people don't know, I was kind of like this young black entrepreneur in the bottom of my cell phone store. Like, I had four locations. One of my locations had a basement, and it was they painted the landlord painted the floor, they painted the walls. So it was like essentially this box. It was like this gray box. And I literally went to Walmart that grabbed a white folding table, and I put a money counter on there because I was running a cash business where a lot of the times people came in and paid $50, $60 for their cell phone bill, $150 for their cell phone bill. And so there was always a lot of cash. And then my team, we had a safe in there. I remember I bought a safe from like Amazon or eBay, and I put it in a certain area in the store, and my team would put the money into that account, into the safe. And I would come in maybe like once a week, and there would just be packets upon packets and envelopes of money in the safe. And I would take the money out of the safe in the evening, and I would go down in the basement, and I would just have the money counter. Beep, beep.
Like a mobster.
low key, right? And that is running a cash business, but still, it's like I have to lead my team every single month to have them go and create new revenue. And we were good at that. Now, did we have repeat customers? Yes, of course, we had repeat customers, but there was no scheduled date. The only thing that was scheduled was when the cell phone carrier, and in my case, it was T-Mobile, when the cell phone carrier would automatically charge the customer that I got the credit card. But I would have to reach out to them to say, hey, are you ready to upgrade your phone? Tell me about are you ready to upgrade your phone? And then T-Mobile would give us a kickback and say, hey, congratulations on getting an upgrade. You now got a kickback of an additional $100 plus whatever the customer paid you. So, hey, you made $400 or $500 on this customer. And you do that enough with enough customers, then you make enough revenue for your business, and then you pocket the profit. But in the reoccurring world, T-Mobile executives are leaning back and they're like, hey, don't worry, we got thousands upon thousands of customers paying us every single month. And, you know, we're incentivizing these operators to go and get more customers. So they're really the sales force, the owner operators of these stores. They're really the sales force. And we have thousands of customers paying us every single month. They have cash flow. I had cash management. See, cash management is once the money comes in, that now I have to realize, okay, how am I going to disperse the revenue? Cash flow is when we know that every single month there's money coming in, whether we work or not. And there's a complete difference between the two. So the one that creates freedom is going to be cash flow, where money's coming in, whether you go out and get a customer or not. You see, when I ran the cell phone store, if I did not get one customer, I did not get $1. That's how it worked. If I did not get a customer in that entire, let's say 30-day period went by and I did not get a customer. Let's say that, you know, there was a tornado or there was a catastrophic experience, then I would not make any money. But on the other side, cash flow, when you already have the subscribers, regardless if you get new customers or not, you still have money coming in. Cash is flowing in because people are paying their subscription. And that was the game changer. I learned that more recently. I wish I knew that when I was younger. I would have started building a pool of monthly recurring revenue back then. But today I know that now. And that's why I'm on here sharing with you, like, the secret sauce is have monthly cash flow through monthly recurring revenue.
Yeah, definitely. And I think too, I mean, you're still very young to figure it out, because I do think that many times business owners, entrepreneurs, even like I come from corporate, but in corporate, you're hoping to go up the corporate ladder so that eventually you get to the six, you know, figures, but that's a long route. You know, I went college route, corporate, and you're like, one day I'll make six figures. But the problem is, if you stop working, the checks stop coming in. So I do think that, you know, you're already ahead of the curve in your 20s figuring this out, because people can spend till they're 45, 50. Not that there's ever a wrong age, you know, to figure it out. But imagine having 20, 35 years of monthly recurring revenue built up instead of realizing at 50, like, as an entrepreneur and business owner, what would my retirement look like? Right. Or what would happen if I take 2 weeks off? So I think that is an important difference to note. There's active generating sales versus you could be in Hawaii. Like, we joke around, we want to be somewhere across the world, or we want to be drinking pina coladas, but the income is still coming in. So that way the business can continue to run with or without the business owner being so in it. What are some like real life applications of how this has shifted on your day to day? Because MRR is the product of making the choice, right? I'm going to have monthly recurring revenue in my business instead of one-time sales or one time every random, you know, week or every random month. How does this, I guess, positively impact your life to have MRR? And since before you were having like bundles of cash, but what does it look like as a digital business to have MRR? Where does that come through? Is that your phone? Are you, you know, what does it look like to wake up with MRR?
So number one is my cortisol from a health perspective is lower. Like right now I'm looking at myself on the screen as in doing this recording, and I've seen other videos of me in the past. So when I didn't have monthly recurring revenue, and I look at this two side by side, I'm like, wow, my face looks so different. Because I lost weight and my stress levels are lower and so on and so forth. Someone told me that having monthly recurring revenue is you're getting a sale every month just differently. So when you're in the hunt, when you're like, I got to hunt for new customers, you have an increased cortisol. It's similar to like fight or flight, but you're mm-hmm. always in this fight to go in and hustle for new business. You're always on the hunt for new business. I know people who are like, for example, in real estate or in the car sales industry. And one of the things that they do, not from a health perspective, but one of the things that they do to keep their mind locked is that they don't eat. They fast in the morning, right? The reason that they're fasting is because your body, when you're hungry, your body is much more alert. And instead of them hunting for food, they're hunting for a business. Similar concept, but they don't eat in the morning because they want to activate that element in them, in their body, that is this hunting, this natural mm-hmm. hunting experience that they have. So they're like, hey, I realize I make more money when I don't eat in the morning. That's really what it comes down to. I make more money when I fast. So it's not for health purposes. It's not to right. drop weight. They like, I realize I'm much more alert. And the reason that you're much more alert is because your body, through archaic times, your body over evolution has adapted that if you don't eat, you're much more alert because you're on the hunt for food. But you're also, when that happens, I realize when you're on this hunt, you have an increased cortisol. Your body's like fighting to go and hunt. And when you are doing one-on-one transactions and you're on this, always on this hunt, whether you sell cars or you might sell real estate, homes, things of that nature, or you sell software, or you're a marketing agency and you're always doing one-on-one, one-time transactions, what ends up happening is that you start feeling inflamed. Your body might start literally attacking itself. My body was attacking itself and I started gaining weight. And then, because I was always on the hunt for new business. However, when I transitioned to a monthly recurring revenue business model, what I started noticing is my stress levels were going down, because instead of me trying to hunt for new business, I put myself in a state of creativity of how do I keep my current customers and give them current value? What do I do to acquire new customers and give value to my current customers who are already paying up, because that's me earning another month of their business. So I'm not stressed out per se. I'm really just like thinking, like, my job when I come to work is, how do I get creative? Who do I get to be? Who do I get to lead my team to give more value to our customers that's already paying, so that way they stay with us? So I'm not hunting for new business per se. I'm more so like, how do I make my offer much more attractive? How do I support my current customers and so forth? So I remember, like, there's months where, like, for example, July of 2023, that whole month I didn't work. I got on a couple of meetings just to make sure my team was mentally sound and I was leading them in the right direction. But for the most part, it wasn't about acquiring customers. And we had a profitable month because I walked away and I was in a 1 month fitness journey that was 100% dedicated to my time in fitness. And I remember looking at the bottom of the P&L, the profit and loss, when my accountant sent it, and I looked at it and I said, "Hey, we're profitable, and I didn't have to work. All I had to do was make sure that my team was A-OK, answer any common question. I maybe worked two to three hours in that week, and then I kept them pushing. And that's what monthly recurring revenue does. When I ran a marketing agency and I was doing a lot of one-time services, I was completely stuck where I had to every month. You remember that time.
Yeah.
We had to hustle and find. And I remember you were like, how do I get out of this? What needs to be different? I'm like, I don't have the answer right now. I'm assuming it's more money. Like, so I would go and get bigger deals, but it was always this hunt for new business. Even if I made a deal that was big to take care of us for the next 6 months or 6 years, whatever the number time frame is, even if I do with that deal next month, I'm still starting at zero.
Yeah, for sure. I do definitely remember, like, there was a big difference from, okay, yes, we're hitting the income goals, we're generating high ticket, we're making progress. But I think the hard part is, like you mentioned earlier, whether it's a cell phone store, whether it's real estate, whether it's a business coach, anybody that's making sales, it's almost like you're working so hard to get the sale, then you get the sale. Then you're hoping that nothing bad happens, like a chargeback or a fall through. In real estate, it's like a cancellation or something, or inspection, right? You're getting it through all the way to the end. And then before you can even celebrate that completed sale, you're already thinking, hold on, I need to go get another sale just in case this one falls through. Or because either way, by the time you get paid for that one, you need to build like your pipeline. So I do remember, you know, being in that hunt. It was like, it's almost like the weeks were all the same. Okay, we got a sell, but when's the next one? Okay, we got a win, but when's the next one? Because you can't just like stop, right? There's no guaranteed check in entrepreneurship. So let me ask you this, so someone that's a coach, right? They have a coaching business. They could be a business coach. They could be a life coach. Whatever their business model is, would you claim or say that anybody can add MRR in their business, regardless of where they are right now in their journey? Because you've had all types of businesses. So is it possible for any type of business owner or any entrepreneur?
I think there's always a way to determine how you can add monthly recurring revenue in a business. I'm in communication with a hair salon owner, and they're seeing how Progretta's going, Audate Media in general, with our different subscription products. We have coaching products, we have software products, and all of it is, we have human capital products, and all of it revolves around monthly recurring revenue. And I think there's always a way that you can create monthly recurring revenue. And one of the ways, for example, in that hair salon is that they're going to create a membership program where people can get either discounts on haircuts by having this membership. So now they're creating a customer base that has recurring revenue, and you can just get discounts on the products in the store as well as on haircuts and services, right? So there's always a way to figure out how you can add monthly recurring revenue. You just got to get creative in that journey and really essentially figure out what does your customer need from you on a either monthly, quarterly, or yearly basis, and how can you bundle that up with enough value, assign a dollar to it that is in correlation with the value that you're delivering on a annual, monthly, or, you know, annual, monthly, or quarterly basis, and then provide that value and charge their credit card for that service or that product that you're giving them. So I believe for most businesses, there's a way that you can figure out how to create recurring revenue. And I mean, like cars did, like people, when you think about a car, you would just purchase a car cash or you don't. Like it's either one. Now, yeah, they're trying to figure out, how do I create cash flow on these cars? Where they're like, hey, if we get the inventory, I can get a loan. The manufacturer's like, I can get a loan on the materials to build the cars and then sell it for a profit and then lease the car out or finance the car out to them, right? And they're figuring out a way to create recurring revenue. And they're incentivizing their people to lease these cars out, right? Because it creates that monthly cash flow for them. And it's not just selling the cars, but it's also like, hey, for the next 3 years, if you sign a lease for the next 36 months, I have monthly cash flow coming in on this car. And then at the end, I'm going to go ahead and lease it out again or finance it, or we're going to sell it for cash again. And then it's this revolving door, right? So salespeople are incentivized. Like I have a Mercedes-Benz and I lease that car. And the person who, because they're getting monthly cash flow that's profitable for them, the salesperson reached out to me 3 months before the end of my lease. And they're like, hey, we'll give you the next 3 months. We'll waive the next 3 months if you decide to get another lease. So they're incentivized to get that cash flow for the, for the car dealership. So I share that with you because you want, you can figure out how to create monthly reoccurring. Think about the iPhone. More in the beginning, it was like, okay, I'm going to sell you this hardware. But mm-hmm. the valuation of Apple didn't come, the growth of Apple didn't come because they're selling phones. They're selling this hardware. It's a one-time transaction. The real value for Apple is the fact that now I got the iPhone. I paid whatever this iPhone costs, $1,000 or whatever we paid when we bought this phone. But then how much do we pay? We pay like $25 a month for our iCloud subscription, our right. Apple Music, all these things that we have. And now, so they got the one-time transaction on the phone, whether it's profitable or not, but they're getting a subscription from us, not just only you and I, but from thousands, if not millions of people around the world. And that's where the valuation, because if Apple were to stop selling phones today and stop selling hardware today, let's say my MacBook, all the hardware that we purchased, if they were to stop, they would still be creating money because we have subscriptions and they have our credit cards on file and we get charged every single month and we don't even think about it or bat an eye. It's just part of our monthly expenses.
Definitely, definitely. And for anybody, again, that maybe just joined or this is their first episode that they're catching regards to your social medias and things like that, one of the things that I've seen you also pour into is the SaaS community, so software as service. And specifically also if someone has a marketing agency and they want to add value to their customers and actually sell software, which in return gives them monthly recurring revenue, right? So as you've been leading a group of people that are making that shift or growing their software, what are some wins that you've seen in that community by them going through your coaching and actually saying, hold on, Andy's already done it. He's figured it out. Like you went on this whole journey, 2021, 2022, and now people are asking you the questions. And I say that they're getting a shortcut, right? Because it was a lot of strategizing, trial and error. But what are some of the wins that you're seeing as you're coaching people in your community to making that shift and adding MRR and doing software as a service?
So you and I, we knew that we wanted monthly recurring revenue, and we talked about so many different products and services over the years. Yeah. When you and I first started, even I think before we even dated,
why our conversations were dating-ish, hanging out or MRR.
Yeah, before we even dated, that's why we're married, right? But before we even dated, I think we talked about monthly recurring revenue at some point in your apartment before we moved in together and so forth, in your apartment in California, where we're like, okay, MRR on your little whiteboard, right?
Yeah.
Inside your kitchen. And we thought about so many different products. We thought about opening up a gym. We thought about so many different services that we could have done. But when we think about software, it's an infinitely scalable product. But when you think about, like, let's talk about the iPhone, for example, right? Let's talk about the iPhone. This product is not infinitely scalable technically, because that every single time that I sell one, I have to be able to find the manufacturer for the glass on the screen. I have to find the materials that are needed for the glass on the main screen, and then the components on the inside the phone, right? So there's all this hardware that goes in, and then that's how Apple's getting their subscription. Now, have they done it successfully? Yes, for sure. There's no doubt about that, right? They're able to source products outside the United States to bring into the United States, and that's how they create the iPhone. But when we think about software, I essentially get paid every time an account is created, and it costs next to nothing for an account to be created. I want you to imagine that it's like creating a Google Doc or a Microsoft Doc. When you press that button and you press plus new, right? Plus new Google Doc. And you get paid $400 a month, $500 a month, $1,000 a month for every time you press plus new. And it costs next to nothing after it's initially built. That is the best business model. I'm currently in a mastermind, and to be in this mastermind, you got to make $1 million to even get into the mastermind anyway. So the people that I'm spending time with are hitters, right? And there's a gentleman in my mastermind where his business is making probably $25-30 million, right? And one of the things he mentioned in our mastermind, he said, all you software people, I'm so jealous and envious of you.
Right.
Why? Because his business, in order for it to work, there's heavy labor costs, and you have to bring in dozens upon dozens of employees for your business to operate. Mm-hmm. You have to bring in, you have to pay for materials, and you have to pay for transportation. He's in a transportation business. So you're in this, although he's making $25, $30 million, but whenever he sells a service, there's a heavy workload in selling his service a product.
Right.
And for us in software, every time someone presses purchase, it's just like, here's your new email account. Here's your new Gmail. Like, it's a new account, but it was built one time and it's infinitely scalable. You can sell as many units. Even though this gentleman is making $25, $30 million, it's going to take a lot to be able to go to $300 million because it's going to require more products, more resources, more people, and people are scarce today. Like, the human capital is much more scarce than it's ever been. So mm-hmm. to scale a business that to 10x a $30 million business is going to be tremendously hard, next to impossible in that industry. But in a software world, you can scale. If you can acquire the customer, you can scale because it costs next to nothing to create a new account. And your profit margin is like 99% on gross profit.
Right.
So that's why I chose software. Now, next thing is not only is it scalable, but the next thing is the profitability. 99%, like I said, 99% profit margin. You could sell an account, it costs next to nothing. So everything what you're paying is the merchant processing fee. After that, it's like profit free, and you get to keep that, right? And then, so that's why I chose software, and I'm coaching some people inside of software too, so that way they can sell their own software. They can sell essentially our technology, the same technology that Progreta, our software company, is built on, for them to sell their own and market it themselves and bring in customers and create recurring revenue for themselves. And they can build it on their own brand. They can build their own brand and create monthly recurring revenue for themselves. And some of the wins have been phenomenal. People who are creating $5,000, $10,000 a month in recurring revenue, and it's given them a sense of freedom and peace compared to working a job. I mean, think about this. I wrote a Facebook post just a couple of days ago on this. If I wanted to, let's say I had a job that was paying me $10,000 a month, all right? All I would need to do, if I do the math, take $10,000, and let's say I'm selling my software for $500. In order for me to leave my job, I would just need to get 20 customers paying $500 a month. And I would be making 10,000.
Wow. 20.
20 people making five. So I would actually tell a person to double that and because they still would need money to operate their business. So if my job is netting me 10 grand a month, so let's say I work for a large corporation, they're paying me $10,000 a month. In order for me to leave that job, I would ideally want to get 40 customers paying $500 a month. And I would still take, that's 20 grand a month, monthly recurring revenue. I would take home the 10,000 and then I would use the remaining 10,000 to be able to operate my business. And now I have a business that's not only profitable, but that pays for itself. And I have a net profit of 10,000. I'm able to leave my job. And now you're going to be in a predicament similar to what we're in, where you're like, okay, I got to figure out new hobbies because I got more time. And, you know, I got to do more things. Like, you're doing crafts and I'm traveling and I'm shooting guns and Spartans and so forth. So you want to create monthly recurring revenue so that way you get that time freedom. Mm-hmm. But there's also a strategy on how to do it. And that's what I coach people on, is like, what is that strategy? What is that process on how to create that monthly recurring revenue?
Yeah. And I think the biggest breakthrough, at least for me, so I don't come from like software background or entrepreneurship, but I was even myself able to get some signups through my laptop by doing a women's event. I spoke on there. I forgot if I got like two or three, but that was my first.
You got more than that.
I think it was like five.
You remember I made it rain on you every time.
Yeah, he did. He physically threw bills as he said, made it rain. So
every time that she got a sale, so she did a webinar for an all women's event.
I don't like public speaking, by the way. So disclaimer, it was my first time speaking.
And I made it rain on her. I just said, every time that sale comes in, I'm just going to, whatever the sale amount is, I have cash, right? I had cash. So I ended up just throwing the money on her. And I said, every time a sale comes in, and then I was like, oh, you got two. And I made it rain. Oh, you got another one. Boom. And then people would watch the replays. And I think we were at a restaurant one time. And I was like, oh, you got another sale while we were at the restaurant.
Yeah.
So it's just, I mean, there's a process to it. And that's what we teach. We teach people how to host webinars, right, how to sell in large groups, and how the onboarding works, how the retention works, how the technical support works, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, and for me, that was my breakthrough. It's like, you don't have to be from this background of software and webinars and public speaking. I think anybody that has an inclination to learn a new skill set, they're open to doing presentations on their laptop. And they're like, you know, I do want the shift, because 20 people is really not a lot. You can do that in 3 months. You could do that in 6 months. And it is something I think someone can transition. So I think we just scratched the surface, but we definitely need a part two on just the MRR and kind of how even that's changed our life. But before we wrap up today's session, do you have anything else you want to add, or how can people connect if they want to send us questions and more topics that they want us here discuss, business, life, all that fun stuff?
Yeah, I mean, reach out to me on Instagram or social media. And look, I love doing this content. If you found this to be valuable, let me know so that way I can continue. So reach out to me on Andy Ade on Facebook or Instagram or x.com or whatever platform. And I'd love to hear you out. And then if you have a great idea, just reach out to me and I'll create a video on it.
Definitely. Yes, we're both on social media. Mine is on Lori Ade, O-R-Y, and then Andy's all over social media, Andy Ade. Definitely reach out to us and let us know what other topics we can discuss. We hope you all have an amazing day.